All right, let's continue our teaching. We'll be reading from the book of Matthew chapter 6, our school of prayer. We have been studying elements of prayer, or elements in prayer. And we took the main text from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew chapter 6. We want to continue from there this afternoon. From verse 6, it said, "But you, when you pray, go into your inner room," that is, unlike the hypocrites who pray for show. He said, "When you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions." Please note the word meaningless again. Prayer of the believer is a prayer that has meaning. That is, he must pray with meaning. He must not pray as a habit. Like the joke I told a few times about this, somebody who was praying, I said, "Our Father who art in heaven," and the Father answered, "What can I do for you?" He said, "Please don't interrupt. I'm saying my prayers." You've heard that before. All right, so it shouldn't be like that. That is, every word we use must have meaning. And he now gave us a format to use. He said, when you pray, pray like this. Verse 9, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is written," or as it is recorded, "predetermined, established in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts or trespasses as we have forgiven those who are owing us, our debtors. And do not lead us," verse 13 says, "and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Last time I spoke about praying in the time of judgment. And then that's the title we ended up giving last week's discussion. And at the end, I began to examine the issue of give us this day our daily bread. All right? And like I said, some translations will use the word our bread for the morrow. But the point is that he limited the request to a one-day period. And I want to emphasize that. Now, please, let's just read this again. There's a reason. Because I want to say something that I've said again and again. And I told you, I won't get tired of saying something. Even if I know I say 500,000 times, I'll still say it again. I won't get tired of saying it. It's very important. All right? But just to get the context in which I pick that expression from, let's just read the book of James chapter 5. The book of James chapter 5. Well, we won't... Okay, don't bother opening to it. Let me just read it out to you. In verse 14, it says, "Is any sick among you?" This is King James. "Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And verse 15 says, "And the prayer of faith," that's what I kind of want to bring up from there, "shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." And they said in verse 16, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." That word, that verse 16, let me just read it in the Amplified. It says, "Confess to one another therefore your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed, restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart." But where I want to bring is the next sentence. Said the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available and is dynamic in his working. Now let's just get back to where we were. Let me go back to the simpler translation I was reading. Now, so he said in verse 17, talking about that, we say Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for three years and 6 months. Let me just stop there, please, because before I lose the main thing I want to say. Why I read this is where he spoke about the fact that there is what is called the prayer of faith. Again, there's a reason why I'm saying this. He said the prayer offered in faith, the prayer of faith, King James says, all right, will save the sick. Now, so we talk about the prayer of faith. I refer to this all the time. And I say that people sometimes say that a prayer of faith is that which you pray once, you believe you have received it, and you don't say anything about it again. Well, that's not very accurate, all right? It's not as if a prayer of faith is different from a prayer of intercession, or is different from a prayer of binding and loosing. Because if you listen to Derek Prince, in that his series on prayer, he discussed different ones of these. It's not as if a prayer of faith is one of those subtypes of prayer. He was saying that this is a prayer that is prayed out of conviction. He was saying that this is a prayer that is prayed because we depend totally on God for answers. He's saying that this is a prayer, you know, we use the word of Jesus just now. He said, do not use meaningless repetitions. He was saying that we must pray a prayer that's not meaningless. The opposite of the, let's play words and opposite again. The opposite of the word, the expression, the prayer of faith, is a prayer of meaningless repetition. That's another example. Are you getting my point? All right. So these prayers that the words don't have inherent meaning in themselves. And I'm going somewhere today. I'm still in that place. Give us this day our daily bread, which we began towards the end of last teaching. Another thing I want to bring up from there is this. There's a prayer of faith. As one of the opposites, there is a prayer of worry. Please, listen to what I'm saying carefully. I've been saying that all kinds of prayer, that when we talk about prayer of faith, all kinds of good prayers are prayers of faith. Prayer of intercession is prayer of faith. Prayer of binding and loosing is prayer of faith. All right? If you are praying for your own needs, you are making requests of the Lord for something that you need personally, it's a prayer of faith. If you're asking that the Lord Jesus taught us to pray here in this Matthew chapter 6, these are all prayers of faith. But there is what is called the prayer of worry. I'm inventing those expressions. I've told you about the prayer of repetition, of imitation, the prayer of show. Jesus talked about the prayer of showmanship, all right? The prayer of entertainment is there. Have you seen that one? Yes, it's there, the prayer of entertainment. If you saw it there, say amen. Right, said there, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogue on the street corners in order to be seen by men. That's the prayer of entertainment. Are you getting my point? Yes, people pray that a lot in church. Use most powerful words to say very simple things. Those are prayers of entertainment. Now Jesus talked about the prayer of faith. He said, when you pray, pray like this. Ask the Lord and say, give us this day our daily bread. I began discussing that one last time. The opposite of that is a prayer of worry. What do I mean? Please listen to this. When we come in prayer, what the Lord Jesus was teaching us here is that we must pray in such a manner so as not to reflect as if we are worried. Do you follow my point? Yes. Because, you see, the prayer of worry is a prayer that wants to establish his future by requesting God to give him everything he needs for that future. That is a prayer of worry. If you like, pray from now till tomorrow is what? A prayer of what? Worry. Last time I gave this illustration, let me just go over it again briefly. That Kenneth Hagin taught us extensively about praying. And brethren try to copy some of the things he said. And there's a prayer of copycat, remember that, all right? Not a prayer born out of persuasion. The man said he would pray asking for a certain amount of money, $150, $120, $200 in a week. That was what he needed. Americans tend to think in weekly fashion. Nigerians think in monthly fashion because we earn our wage generally monthly, but they tend to earn weekly. So they generally have this weekly mentality. So he said, what do I need in a week? It's $150. And then he will pray and bind the devil that's holding his money back, and lose the angels to go and bring the money. And every single time he got the money he was asking for, and a few dollars extra. So if you ask the Lord for $150, he will get like $152, alright? You get like $152, you get like $157, or $155, something like that. If you ask the Lord for $200, you come to like about $210, $205, stuff. So much that, like I told last time, there was a time he prayed, the money was not complete. He did not leave the place, he was counting the money. He counted the money and counted the money and counted the money. And divided the money with his friends. You count the other side, I count this other side. They switched it around. Finally, he remembered that somebody gave him $20 earlier in the day. And when he added that one, he went back to what it used to be. If it was $200 he was believing for, he got $205, $206, $210, something like that. And I said last time, I want to repeat it again. A lot of us went to practice that. So you see two boys on campus, we agree amongst themselves. Or one guy will agree on his own and bind the devil holding back his BMW and lose the angels that will go and go to Germany and go and bring it and go and dispossess whichever white man is driving his car currently and get him a very fresh Tacoma BMW. And unfortunately, those ones hardly worked. That's where I'm going to. They hardly did. I'm not aware of anybody give an authentic testimony about it. But we all practiced it. I'm not sure I did. I'm sure I did. We always do these things. All right? But the one questions, I'm sure I must have. I can't remember specifically. I must have. Without putting into all these things. And it's a sign of zeal and it's a sign of loving God. If you never did it, your Christianity is questionable. The Lord is good. Now, this is what I'm making. I said last time, and I want to repeat to us again. One question we did not ask. Were there no Cadillacs that time when Brother Hagin was praying for $150? There were Cadillacs. Why didn't he pray for a Cadillac? Americans had $500 bills. Why didn't he ask for one? Why was he praying for $200? Are you getting my point? People were living in mansions. Why didn't he ask for one? Why was he praying just to pay rent on that small one that he had? Do you follow my point? Is it that God, and those are questions we ask once in a while. One day, a young man came to me. He was having some issues in academics. They said he failed an exam. He said he did not fail. We said he failed. He said he did not fail. So he went to go and pray that God will release his real result, not the fake one that these lecturers are trying to impose upon him. So I called him one day to my office. One of the things that God did for me, not just for me now, but for the people I minister to, is that he made sure I passed through what a lot of them are passing through. I was a medical student. I was a Christian on campus. I was a campus fellowship president. I also had all kinds of jackery faith, you know what I'm saying? All kinds of rock, aggressive faith to pull down mountains. Some mountains came down, some got taller, and we were wise enough to leave that mountain till the faith got big enough to tackle it. We're there also. Now I'm a lecturer. I teach those medicals and who are students. So you can't bump. If I come to class and say, oh, you Christians are irresponsible, nobody will say anything. They will believe me. You say, if this man says we're irresponsible, we are irresponsible. Are you getting my point? So I called the young man to order. So I wanted to talk to him. He asked a question which sounded so like he wanted to put me in a corner. I said, listen, what you are doing is senseless. He says, sir, I want to ask you a question. Are you saying that there's something that God can't do? A lawyer can never put me in court and say answer yes or no. It's against my religion. I have testified before panels. I have been in court. I have been cross-examined. There's one thing, if you say yes or no, if no does not favor me, and yes doesn't favor me, I refuse. And if a lawyer wants to harass me, I'll face the judge and I'll beg the judge to instruct you to stop harassing me. That I want to give my answer the way I know how to give it. And I did that to the young man. I said, that's a very foolish question. You asking me. Now, I can't remember all the words I told him. But among the answers I have for such situations now is this. Is there something that God can do? No, there's nothing he can do. He could have given you that MBBS certificate in your father's house. Why did he make you write jump? Is there nothing that God cannot do? Why didn't God just give, when you were being born, that you bring out your right hand, you see Bachelor of Medicine, Bachelor of Surgery, as you are coming out of your mother's womb, why did he make you go to primary 1? Primary 6? GSS 1? SSS 3? And now road jump? My friends, go back and go and read and pass this exam and stop telling me that there's something that God can do or cannot do. I'm bringing an issue here. When he says, give us this day our daily bread, and referring to that Ken Hagin story, why didn't the man ask for a mansion? Why was he praying for $150? Is it that there's something that God can't do? A lot of prayers we pray are prayers of what? Worry. They are prayers of what? Competition. All my friends have married, they're having children, so it's competition now. It's not a prayer of faith. I want that 5 billion naira. All I'm thinking is, God, when you give it to me, I won't ask you for money again. I've had a friend tell me that. We were discussing about something. I said, if God says you ask for something, what are you asking for? He said, I'll ask you for, he mentioned one huge amount of money for that time. Just so I will not have to come back and pray again. He said, that is the very thing God will not do for you. So that you will gain independence as a result of the answer he gave to your prayer. You'll now be independent of him. No, he won't allow that. Why didn't Kenneth Hagin pray like that? It's simple. Maybe he knew, whether I knew it like this or he didn't know it like that, but this is the spiritual working behind it, I believe. Because sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You don't pray about the evil that is not in your day. That's the point I'm making. You are getting what I'm trying to explain there. That is, each season, he said, give us this day our daily bread. I want to explain that thing to us again. Life is broken into seasons. There are words you see in the scriptures. When you see the word like day, then this Bible does not always refer to 24-hour period. Are you getting my point? Yes, there are different things that are used for day. For example, we say this is the day that the Lord has made. And when he was talking about that, he was speaking about the season of the church. Are you getting my point? If you look at it in context, or the prophetic interpretation of it, this is the day the Lord has made. He was talking about the season of the church. He was talking about the day of salvation. When he talked about the acceptable year of the Lord, in Christianity, it's not just one year. He talked about the season of the shedding of the blood of Christ, in which we can now walk boldly into the holiest of all. Are you getting what I'm saying? So those are seasons. So when you see the word day in the Bible like this, it can be literal 24 hours, or again, we can apply it to the season that you are in currently. Are you getting my point? For example, a student, I said, has a season for maybe 4 years. When you step into university, your day is 4 years. That's the next day you are in. Because if you are studying a course that's 4 years, the next 4 years you're in a single season of your life. And listen, some of the prayers, like I was saying earlier, that people pray are prayers of covetousness. They are prayers of worry. They are not prayers of faith. That's why I read that James chapter 5 first. That is, the Lord was teaching us here again that we should learn to pray prayers of faith, knowing that tomorrow is always in God's hands. It's very vital. It's very vital. It's very vital. I have discovered, now please listen to this. I want to say something. Let me try and see how I can explain it so that we'll all understand. There's something I've been saying again and again. Be very careful of testimonies. That is, personal testimonies. When God blesses people, there are many things he's doing. For example, you could have decided, you look at the life of David, and say, see how God, let's assume your grandfather was a Muslim. Are you getting my point? And you look at the life of David. How did God bless David? Oh my God. The Lord so blessed him that he gave him 4 wives. Amen? And you see what I'm saying? And you see that's what? A sign of blessing. Because your grandfather was a Muslim. They're assuming that your Osama bin Laden's relative, a Qaeda man, who they have promised that if you kill enough people, you will have 70, bean-eyed virgins, I don't know what they describe it, in heaven. If you are like that, you will interpret the blessing on Solomon as the God so blessed him, he has 700 wives. I wonder how many bombs he tied to his body. How many people did he kill for the cause of Allah? You are getting the point? How many people did he kill for the cause of Allah that he should have given 700 wives? That the man didn't even have to wait to get to Arjuna to get his own. You are getting my point? You are interpreting his testimony in the light of the depraved mind that you have. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. When we are interpreting testimonies, we have to be careful. Sometimes when God blesses people, he's blessing them with limitation or within limitations. What am I saying? Was it God's perfect plan that Solomon should marry 700 wives? Even Solomon knew it was not. Because he testified that I have discovered that there's nothing better than for a man to rejoice in the wife of his youth. He said, having 700 wives is inferior to that one. That was Solomon's judgment. Do you get my point? What am I saying? I've heard people testify of how people can come and give you testimonies of how God opened the door for them to go maybe to a foreign country. People can give testimonies of how God connected them with one wife or with one husband. People can give testimonies of how God opened the door for a job. I have seen people give me testimonies of things I'm sure God doesn't want them to do. Now, listen. Listen. When I say I'm sure now, maybe for them, all right? Maybe for them, God has overlooked it and said, leave it for him, leave it for her. But I knew they were working closely with God enough and understanding the way God works. These are things they wouldn't ask him for. All right? I'm trying to be careful. There are many women who testify in my presence. How God helped them get promotion. How God helped them retain the job that I'm sure you couldn't have married me. I won't let you do it. I don't know whether I get my point.
Yes. What?
It is going to rise up early. You rise up early every day. To go to bed late, you go to bed late every day. And you are testifying on promotion. I go there, look. And you have 4 children in the house. Who thinks daddy is the mommy and mommy is the daddy? Yes. And for me, there's no story you want to tell. As you are giving your testimony, I'm just rejecting it. In Jesus' name, not my portion. Are there testimonies? Yes, they are. Most certainly. Did the Lord do some of those things? Yes, he did. Because that is the much you allow him to do. Some of those things, we hold on so tenaciously to them. This is where I'm going, prayer of faith. Because tomorrow, we are afraid of it. We are afraid of what the future holds. We are afraid. Once a man was talking to me, describing the reason why he has to go to a particular country. And by the time he finished, he had explained everything that I knew was wrong, biblically speaking. When you get there, you can plan effectively for your future. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take no thought for the morrow. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, and wherewithal shall you be clothed. Ask the Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Listen, there are many testimonies that come as a result of praying prayers that are not of faith. You came to God begging, God, if you don't give me this visa, I know that you can give me. And God is seeing what's in your heart. You are afraid. Look, I've had so many experiences along this area. You are so certain that the degree of prosperity that you like God to point to your life, Nigeria doesn't understand it. See what I'm saying? You are certain. I told you, in fact, I've given this gist here before. Once we were in church praying with people, and one man was in front of me, said I should pray. What is the prayer? That God should open doors for him to go for international trials. Say footballer. Of course, first time you hear international trial, say, are you a criminal? Want to be tried? He said, no, he's a footballer. So I asked him a simple question. Have you been to Aqua United and they rejected you? Have you been to 3SC? They said, go away. Haba. Julius Berger is there. You haven't played for them. And you want me, I, Banky, to join hands with you to open doors of international trial. It's against my religion. You know the kind of prayer I pray for such people? Father, open his eyes. Because when God opened the eyes of Hagar, she was beside a well, she didn't recognize it. You're getting my point? I said, boy, if not football, you won't play. Go stadium on Saturday. When Eyimba wants to I don't know much football, though. What are the rainy? I'm mentioning teams of my days. Even Aqua United, I learned that one about 7 years ago. If I give it the ones I really know, now Shooting Stars. ICC Shooting Stars. Rangers still be there. Okay. I tell you, listen, my guy, go to those people first. Because I know why I'm saying these things. Because we don't understand. That's actually the kind of prayer God expects us to pray. Listen, through Christianity, it's a serious walk. Yes, it is. It is a serious matter. Because each season in life, for example, you're a preacher. I have never understood. God taught me that long ago. So, I have never understood why a preacher will pray that God should open doors for him to go and preach in America. I have never understood. That's why you shouldn't go to America. I can pray, God, give me money to carry my wife and my children for holiday. It's easy. That will pray. I can pray that one and receive it by force. You know what I mean? But God, open preaching doors. Why? 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 Be honest with yourself. Why? I have found it easier to pray for open doors to Eastern Africa. You say, Pastor Mackie, why? Well, simply because I have I have a message for them. Let's put it like that. And we're already ministering to them via satellite. All right? And when Omega Channel started advertising their coverage of North America, I just looked at myself and said, like I said, sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. I don't know why I didn't even have the faith to say, Lord, you will supply more money. Listen, the money we are pumping now onto the new radios we are getting into within Nigeria, if we had put it together, it would have paid for that one. The one we gave to Kingdom Africa for the few months we were with them, all right? Who will have paid for what Kingdom Omega Chan is asking us to pay to broadcast all over the U.S.? I just look and say, no, no. It's not bad, though. Are you getting my point? I just don't feel the day is here. Yeah, you getting what I'm saying? So, for me, it's funny. For me, I don't know why it should be a prayer point. I don't know why it should be a prayer point. I'm going somewhere. Because for most Nigerians, why it is a prayer point, it's not, they don't have the mission mentality. They want to count their honoraria in dollars. That's all. I'm emphasizing this sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. And why Jesus said, pray like this. Give us what? This day. A prayer of unbelief, a prayer of worry. That's what we pray when we have so focused on the times that have not yet come. Let me tell you, the security for that time is the way by which you successfully fulfill the mandate of God for today. That's what leads you into tomorrow. Are you getting my point? Listen, I can hear a preacher come and testify. I can hear a preacher testify that I've only prayed the Lord gave me maybe 500 million naira as an example. Say, Pastor Bank, we can also stretch our feet for that. I've never spent 500. What am I making? You know, when you hear a man say, I've never spent 500 million, it's as if he spent 200 million. You should not say it like that. 500 million. To me now, it looks like the Lord is able to do a thing there far above all that he can ask or think. You know, that's my point. You know, there are things I just don't bother myself about. And when you say that, okay, a man had the faith for it. Listen. It must have been in his day. I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, it has to have been in his day for him to have stretched his faith. And so I don't bother myself about it because the day that I am in, the number of TV stations and radio stations we have to pay is not so much, and they don't require me having 500 million naira. Do you get my point? And I don't create unnecessary burdens for my soul. Those days when I was in Lagos, if you let me tell the story again and again. If you know me well enough, you know I love nice cars. You know how you know? Let's just talk. By the time I start giving you information, you know, the kind of thing a man talks about is what you know what he really loves. One day, a man drove a car up, came to sell it to somebody near me. And I said, okay, how is this car? I was just asking him questions. After I answered, after a while, I said, excuse me, sir, what do they really mean when they talk about displacement like that? And I began to explain to him how cylinders work and explain and explain. I talked. Finally, he looked and said, and I thought I knew a lot about cars. He was selling cars. I wasn't selling. If you ask my wife, you say, this is my husband now. In the dark, I will take a glance at a car for 3 seconds. I'll tell you the brand, the make, the year. And my wife looked at me and said, I was just driving down our house. One nice little mid-sized SUV was parked there. I just said, oh, this must be this particular model of this particular car. It was dark. So she looked and said, for one who came close, I looked and I was right. I said, how did you know? I don't know. I just saw it. 2 seconds and I knew. I used to play a joke those days in Lagos. I really used to do it. A car would drive by. Pam, I look for it. 1 second. Close my eye. I'll just tell you everything about it. You know where I'm going? I didn't have one. And it was not a serious prayer point. That's where I'm going. I didn't have one. And it was not a serious prayer point. The only thing I ever said to the Lord, I remember very sure. I remember that one for sure. I said, Lord, the only thing is that when I marry, if I don't have a car, now let me go to church. I'll be coming from church to come and preach to my wife, whatever pastor says there. And I was very good at that. If I come to church, I remember every word you preach. And I get home and download everything for whoever I left behind at home. That's why it makes me laugh when I see young people. The pastor will come and say, hey, say this year, this is my year, yeah. Or buy Lamborghini.